In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes a meal is more than a meal, more than a chance to pacify your palate or stuff your stomach. Sometimes the meal takes on a life of its own. On their wedding day, couples don't place a bite of that pretty cake in each other's mouths just because, well, they're in the mood for it. The final meal of a death row inmate is more than a chance for him to die without hunger pains. And you may not even like turkey and dressing, but I bet most of you have cooked it or at least eaten it for more Thanksgivings than you care to remember. Eating is often about far more than eating. On their last night in Egypt, during their final hours of slavery, the Israelites partook of a meal that was far more than a meal. A simple menu, really, but no serving was there just to pretty up the plate. Nothing was chosen because of nutritional content or even because it happened to have a good flavor. In fact, one part of it was chosen because of its bad taste. Bitter herbs the Israelites were to eat. Yes, bitter herbs, for the taskmasters had embittered their slaves' lives with the daily grind of servitude. As cows chew their cud, so the soon-to-be-freed slaves were to chew these herbs year after year as an edible token of the bad taste left in their mouths from those acidic years in Egypt. Unleavened bread was also part of that meal. Unleavened because Pharaoh would oust them from his land before the sun rose, before the yeast had time to work its way through the dough. It was the bread of affliction, because with haste they'd have to exit Egypt before the tyrant once more revised his decree and relocked their chains. This bread truly was fast food, but of the sacred sort, because the people of God would literally eat and run. The bitter herbs were thus the dish of remembrance, and the unleavened bread, the food that foreshadowed their upcoming haste. So too, the main course, the roasted flesh of a sacrificed lamb, that meat also heralded something else, something that was for them both a now and a not yet. The now of the roasted lamb, of the roasted meat, was the tangible sign that an innocent victim had been, just a few hours before, slaughtered in their stead. The angelic destroyer who was passing through the land that night would pass over their homes, sparing the firstborn sons, while he would pass into the homes of unbelievers, leaving a trail of blood in his wake. But above and beside the entrance of the homes of the faithful was painted the blood of the Passover lambs, like a crimson hieroglyphic that translated into one saving message. Pass over, O angel, God's child lives here. So that night, as they tasted that meat, they knew that neither they nor their sons would taste of death. Their good shepherd had prepared a table before them in the presence of their enemies, a table that gave them light and life as they walked through the valley of the shadow of Egypt. But this main course proclaimed a message that extended well beyond that night, beyond the many Passover celebrations to come. Indeed, the whole meal, bitter herbs, unleavened bread, and roasted lamb, this entire meal was an edible prophecy. For as the preachers of old uttered prophecies of the coming Messiah, so this meal also was a foretelling that they could sink their teeth into. It promised that what now the Israelites were eating was but a foretaste, an appetizer that was to whet their appetite for a meal that was yet to come. And this not yet meal would be one that would surpass their supper in Egypt in wonder and excellence. This surpassing meal is definitely more than a meal. About eating, but about far more than eating. About drinking, but about far more than drinking. It is a table where the things of earth are lifted up to the things of heaven, and the things of heaven are brought down to the things of earth. Here, God comes down into the Egypt of our captivity, not to kill His enemies, but to place into our mouths His own body and blood, given into death to save His enemies, to save us. It may seem a bit plain Jane, maybe even austere, that this food of the new and better Passover, the menu includes simple bread and wine. Nothing there to razzle-dazzle the palate. Nothing to make this world's connoisseurs salivate. But so it was in olden times as well, when the Israelites ate unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and roasted lamb. Nothing there either to raise the eyebrows of Egypt's Martha Stewart or even Rachel Ray. But the Father did not send His Son into the world to impress the world, but to save the world through Him. And the means He uses to save you are wrapped in the disguise of utter simplicity. Take, eat. This simple bread is His body. It does not represent His body. It does not symbolize His body. It is His body. It is the body of the Lamb that was not passed over, but passed under the knife. Or rather, passed under the court of the Sanhedrin, passed under the sentence of spineless Pilate, passed under the whips of the soldiers, passed under the sneers of the crowd, passed under the beams of His cross, passed under all the evil this world could heap upon Him, and then some. For He also passed under the verdict of His Father, which declared this innocent one guilty of our crimes, which bade Him serve our sentence, all that we, the true guilty ones, might go scot-free. Take, eat. This is the body of God's own Lamb. No knife slices His throat open as the dumb beasts of old, but nails, spear shall pierce Him through. The cross is borne for me, for you. Behold, the Lamb of God, skewered on the beams of that cruel tree, all the flames of hell ablaze beneath Him, fueled by the firewood of our iniquities, leaping upward to roast the flesh of this pure and perfect sacrifice. Take, eat, open your mouth, fear not. Taste and see that the Lamb is good. Good for you who have been bad. Good enough for you and for all the world. So good that in eating Him, you become the good that He is. You truly are what you eat. And then, take, drink. This simple wine is His blood. It does not represent His blood. It does not symbolize His blood. It is His blood. It is the lifeblood of the Lamb who gave His life for you. He gave it not in a single outpouring, but from the Alpha of His life to the Omega, from the beginning to the end. He gave it as an 8-day-old infant, the drops of His circumcision blood shed for you. He gave it in Gethsemane as He prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me," His sweat becoming like drops of blood, already filling that cup the Father would indeed take from Him. But only after this obedient Son had drained it of the poison of our sins and filled it with the liquid of His love. Christ gave His lifeblood when the whips ripped open His muscles, when the thorns stabbed His brow, when the nails bore through His hands and feet, and finally when the soldier's spear broke through the dam of His flesh to unleash the water and blood that spills forth to fill every font and chalice in Christendom. Take, drink, this is His blood. Paint it not on your doorposts and lintels, but on your lips, on your tongue, on your heart, and on your soul. For this blood is the armor of the Almighty, shielding every inch of you from the destruction that will overtake this world when the angels execute judgments of God upon the Lamb's great and glorious return. They will pass over you then, these destroying angels, for you have passed under the bleeding side of the Passover Lamb, painted with the crimson colors of the Christ who hands His chalice to you. Take, drink. and drink and drink some more. For this libation is your salvation, the blood that flows from the very veins of the Lamb. Here, dear Christians, is a meal that takes on a life of its own, or rather that takes on the life of its founder, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in taking this meal into yourself, you take on His life as your own, passing over from death into life everlasting. Come and receive this new and better Passover meal of meals. In the holy and precious name of the Lamb of God who feeds us with Himself, that we may live. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.